pull out tonight?
Yeah, it's been twice.
Village Press.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Village Board meeting for Tuesday, September 17th. Would you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. We will call our meeting to order. Roll call. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter. Here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Sampson.
Here.
And Nick is here, right?
Yes, he's right on the map.
Okay, very good. Is there a motion to modify or adopt the agenda? Trustee Genrich.
Move to adopt as presented.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Harris, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Announcements. Beginning September 30th, the Alloway Village Hall hours will return to Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. And our staff is busy getting the budget all ready, and the next milestone for our budget schedule is Tuesday, October 1st, when the department heads will be meeting with the administrator and the village president to go through the initial cut at the budget. Any other announcements from village board members? Trustee Dart?
I just wanted to mention that I had a couple residents mention to me that they really thought the brush pickup thing was well done and very useful. So compliments to village staff.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Any other announcements from staff? Okay, and for those of you interested, the Lorelei Oktoberfest is this Friday and Saturday at Lorelei. Okay, we will move on to item number 4, presentation from the Central Brown County Water Authority and Mr. Nick Sparaccio. Hi, Nick, come on up, please.
You want me to come on up there?
Please.
Sounds good. Yeah, I've got some slides here. Let's see if I can see
that. Can I bring the mic up?
No, I'll just... Let's get that up. Okay. Well, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Thanks for having me again.
Thanks for being
here. Hard to believe it's been a little over a year since I started with the Water Authority, but it has, and it's going well. So, and it is budget time once again. I've got some slides here to walk us through things. I did get some questions ahead of time from a couple of the trustees, and I've answered some of those in the slides, but if I miss anything, I'll try to leave some openings for questions as well. Jump in at any time with questions. So as far as 2020 budget, these are the goals that I started out with for the Central Brown County Water Authority. As always, try and keep any rate increase to a minimum. And actually, it's going to be a rate decrease in this proposed budget. Next goal was to advance our capital projects as our finances allow. And I'll explain a little bit about kind of the dynamic that's at work there. A lot of what we're looking at for the year ahead is related to the pump station in Manitowoc, and trying to optimize how things are working there. Not a capital item, but an operational item that I'll share in a little bit of detail is County Trunk Highway R bridges in Denmark are being replaced next year by Brown County. The Water Authority has its 48-inch transmission main in that right-of-way, and we're going to need to do some things to protect the pipeline there against vibration damage potentially from the bridge replacement. So that's got a cost associated with it, and I'll explain the details behind that. And then, of course, it's a goal to maintain financial stability. We need to have adequate funds for our operating and fixed costs budgeted for every year. Part of that is part and parcel of compliance with our bond covenants, which is our bond payments are the vast majority of our expenses. And then we're also trying to maintain recommended levels of unrestricted cash. So those are the goals. And then here are some of the the key influences as we took a look at budget for next year. Number of issues, challenges, but also some positive things along with it as well. So one of the key issues is our bond refunding surplus, also known as the rate stabilization funds, are depleted. When we refunded our bonds back in 2014, there was a surplus with that refunding, and over the following years after that, we rebated those excess funds back to the members. Well, that fund is spent and then some, so we don't have that source available for rebates for 2020, and that'll have an impact. We do have a continuing list of potential capital improvements that we think are necessary. Again, it's kind of a balancing act as to how much of that we can do. The County Highway R Bridge replacement project, which I mentioned, was unexpected. But it is the kind of thing we do have to be prepared for. We do have a plan for how to address that. So that was an issue that added some costs to the budget. We are going to see some increases in MPU pass-through costs. So what that means is the things that happen in the treatment plant in Manitowoc, some of those things we get billed for directly, and some of those costs are chemical costs, water testing, electricity, etc. And we expect some of those chemical costs to increase in the year ahead as they've implemented an aluminum chlorohydrate feed to help improve the water quality going into the filtration system there. On the issue side, our investment income is unpredictable, to be expected, but I've got a positive on that as well. And then both positives and negatives associated with the fact that all of our reserve and designated funds are maintained at compliant levels. A lot of that is related to our bond compliance. I list it as an issue because that's a pretty big burden on our members. There's a lot of funds tied up in designated reserve funds so that we can comply with our bond covenants. They have to be. If I could make those go away, I would. And someday, hopefully, we can. All right, so some of the positive things. No debt service increase this year. The escalation in debt payments that happened 2015 through 2017 are done. Our debt payments will be relatively stable until the bonds are paid off. Projected water use is stable. In fact, we have a little bit of an increase projected by our members for the 2020 budget. We are continuing to seek a return on some investments in terms of electrical efficiency. I mentioned looking at the finished water pump station in Manitowoc. We're also completing a project this year that was approved in the budget for 2019. That will improve electrical efficiency at a booster pump on the far west end of the system over in Hobart. So that should be implemented soon, and we'll save some money on electricity there. Here's the positive side on the investment income. We have had two solid years of investment income. We have very limited options for what we can invest in this low interest rate environment we've continued to be under is good for bonds. So that's what we've been investing in. The splash study will be completed pretty soon this year. That's something I shared with you in a little bit of detail last year. This is that cooperative study between the Water Authority and its members and the Green Bay Water Utility and some of its wholesale customers to look at ways that we could potentially work together on ways that save costs. So that study's been going well. It's coming to a close. And as I mentioned, our reserve and designated funds maintained at compliant levels. The positive side of that coin is if things go wrong in any direction, we have funds set aside to address those issues. So those are all the factors that work together. I'll give you a little bit of detail on the County Trunk Highway R Bridge replacement. Is this the same button, the laser pointer?
Yes.
It doesn't change the slide on me. So this is a little bit hard to see, but this is the County Highway R right-of-way in Denmark. This is Wall Street, and this is the old railroad line or the Devil's River State Trail. So there's a bridge here with two spans. Both sections of that bridge need to be replaced. And the blue line is the 48-inch transmission main that comes from Manitowoc all the way up to Ledgeview. That's a critical piece of our infrastructure. And that project, the bridge replacement project, involves driving about 130 pilings. They're concrete pilings to support the foundations under the bridge abutments. Now, the best way to deal with that is to prevent vibration damage, is to basically bore into the soil before they start driving the pilings. So bore into the soil to the depth down to the bottom of the pipe. Now, hopefully we don't have to do that for all 130 pilings. We're going to have, Brown County has agreed to start on the far north end of that project and work their way south. There will be vibration monitoring in place, and we will have, they'll accept from the Water Authority the vibration limits that our engineers establish. So that's all good. The difficult part of the story is we have to fund that. That's a highway right-of-way. Our ability to exist there is basically subordinate to the highway. We're a permitted utility in the county highway right-of-way. So we are required to either move our utility or to otherwise mitigate the potential impacts of what's going on there. We definitely don't want to move it. That would be very costly. $300,000 is the estimated cost if we had to pre-bore all 130 of those pilings. So we're hoping that it's going to be less than that. Some of those pilings are within 45 to 50 feet of the transmission main. So those ones that are closest are the ones we're most concerned about and are likely to require pre-boring. So that cost will be our responsibility. We do have unrestricted cash that we can set aside for that purpose. So that's where those funds will come from in this budget. All right. We always look at history.
Let's say we put in all the borings, but then there's still an issue and there's damage. Who is then responsible?
Well, the way we've set things up in terms of the construction process is the maximum vibration limits are kind of an absolute. So if they're exceeded at any point, the construction has to stop. The first alternative will be to use a smaller hammer on the pile driver to see if that has any effect on it, because that would be essentially no cost. If that doesn't work, the effectiveness of pre-boring is pretty well documented. That getting that hole down to the bottom of the pipe depth disperses that vibration below the point that where you're trying to protect. That's pretty well documented in terms of structures and buildings and things of that nature, even much closer distances than what we're looking at here. Now, we have hired an engineer to specifically look at the pipeline and anything unusual with that to make sure that we have good vibration limits in place. So I guess my short answer is it's pretty unlikely that if we pre-bored those holes that we're actually going to have damage occur. Now, if to answer the question directly, if damage does occur, that's our responsibility. That's the Water Authority. So that's kind of the nature of being a permitted utility in the right-of-way of the county highway. Now, that said, Brown County's been good to work with on that. They understand this is the water supply for 86,000 people. It's not a typical utility. It's not like somebody's internet's going to go out for a little while. If the line breaks, this would have much greater consequences. So hopefully they'll be as careful as we hope they will be.
Thank you.
Go on. Well, a follow-up to that. We didn't pay. We were granted that right. We don't pay. It's not as though we have a contract with the county. County owns the right-of-way?
Right.
The state owns
right.
The right-of-way? So
yeah, it's a county highway right-of-way.
We have not paid for something that we're being deprived of.
Right. No, we would have paid for a utility use permit, but no, there's no ongoing cost for the pipeline to live in that right-of-way.
Yeah, no, I appreciated Trustee Harris's question, because I know it was explained at the meeting, but beyond saying I think that it's because some of the things you said, now I understand that.
Yeah, and it's a very important issue. We're going to watch it very closely and be as careful as possible, because the last thing we want to see is for damage to get done to the transmission main. All right, any other questions on that? All right, so in terms of water use, I think this is a chart that has been around for a long time. The red line on top was the projection done back in the day when the Water Authority system was initially planned. That was the expected growth in water consumption, and as we know, the reality has been the opposite trend. And that's not just here, that's nationwide. Communities, businesses, residences have gotten more efficient with water use. And that tends to happen when you go from an unmetered source to a metered source. And that's a good thing. Water conservation is a positive thing. But I also want to share this slide as well. So we're not using that last slide as a projection for future water use. We have a new projection that takes the actual trends into account. And basically what this chart is showing is a couple different regression lines that project things out to 2028 based on actual water use from 2008 to 2019. And what you see there is there was a pretty steady decline through 2017. We did see a pretty good jump in 2018. Water use was unusually high in 2018. We did have a really dry summer that year, at least the first part of it, if I remember correctly. So what we're projecting is either we're going to continue on sort of a gentle downward trend, or we're going to stick pretty close to level. And in reality, we'll probably land somewhere in between those two. The other item that's important on this chart is that dashed line in the background. That's the minimum take-or-pay amount in the contract with Manitowoc Public Utilities. So we have drifted below that minimum take-or-pay amount several times over the last 5 or 6 years. And what you see with the projections is we'll either stay pretty close to that minimum take-or-pay amount or we'll drift below it on a regular basis. So that's a challenge to our existing relationship with MPU that I continue to work on. Basically what that means is if we use less water than that minimum amount, we still have to buy it from them. So that's water we pay for whether we use it or not. But that's the projection moving forward. Any questions on that?
What is the least squares trend?
So the green line is, I'll start with the linear forecast, the purple line that sort of trends down into the future. Yep. Those are both functions you can get within an Excel spreadsheet. The linear forecast is a more common one. How do I explain it? The least squares trend takes some of the bias out of it. And you kind of moves the whole line forward. It looks at the more recent years and revises the projection on that basis, so it kind of moves the whole thing forward.
So you think reality will come in somewhere between the yellow and the purple?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I mean, that seems to match national trends in terms of where things are going. But I think we're also starting to see in some parts of the Water Authority membership that there is growth going on that will keep bumping things up on an incremental basis. Most of that growth seems to be residential, and it's in terms of water use, it's such a small increment at a time. It's not like you have a big industry coming in that's going to use a lot of water all at once.
Is another factor that municipalities went hard after leaks and finding holes in the system?
Right, exactly.
Yep. That's pretty much been done. I mean, it's a pretty tight, at our level, it's there's not a lot of low-hanging fruit anymore.
No, but there's still regular leak detection that happens, you know, on a cycle. You know, every several years, communities will go back out there and get after any leaks that have developed. So it does continue to happen. But yeah, the bulk of that has happened, but we still expect to see some corrections on that basis in the future. Water consumption for the membership as a whole. Here's a zoom in on Alloway water consumption here locally. Alloway has been on a pretty steady track. Now, as I mentioned, you see right at the end of the far right-hand side of that chart in 2018, there was a bump up in water use locally here as well throughout the membership. But Alloway has stuck pretty close to that trend line of that gentle drop in water use. And you can see in the chart on the right-hand side the projected versus the actual amounts of water consumption going back to 2015. 2019, of course, is still in progress, but it's projected to be pretty close to budgeted. Just taking where we were at the year and projecting that forward, probably be pretty close to 400 million gallons. And then for 2020, the budgeted amount has been set at 410 million gallons. Couple reasons for that. As I mentioned, there was an increase in 2018, so there's potential that things could be stabilizing for water use in Alloway. But also, I think it's just a little bit different approach in terms of year-end true-up. So part of our process with the Water Authority is to make sure that everybody pays the same unit rate for water at the end of the year. Because we have everybody budget that in advance and pay a fixed amount each month, we have to true that up to make sure everybody pays the same unit rate. So what that means is for some communities, they'll get an invoice to pay in more, and some communities will get a rebate because they already paid in more. So I think part of that also is to try to put Alloway in a position where you're not getting an invoice at the end of the year. It's just a different approach, you know, pay a little bit more in each month kind of thing, and hopefully get a rebate back at the end of the year. So that's the foundation for the budget is projected water use, because as I mentioned, that's how we bill on a monthly basis. Moving to the expense part of the budget, the chart's kind of the breakdown of major costs for the Water Authority is pretty similar to how it has looked in the past, with some subtle differences. The largest portion, as always, is debt service, but it's a little bit lower for the 2020 budget because other O&M has got a significant jump in it. That utility conflict issue with County Highway Arm Bridges is considered an operational expense. So that additional $300,000 shows up in that 7.7% of other O&M. So that brings down some of the other items. But the other areas are pretty typical to how they've been in the past. About 3.5% is our capital improvement program. About 18% is our water purchase expense from Manitowoc. One other item that is new this year is funding future depreciation expense. We're really just kind of giving a nod to that. It's a pretty small amount, and I'll show you the numbers here momentarily. But as the board looked ahead at some long-range financial models for the Water Authority, funding future depreciation is something that we want to start doing. We can't do it in a big way right now, but we want to at least create the discipline. We want to put the line item in the budget, start putting something in it. We really have to pay off our existing debt before we can do substantial funding towards depreciation expense. But as the infrastructure does get older, if we can set aside funds to help reduce future borrowing, that's the thought. So here's a little detail on the actual line items for expenses. Debt service and CIP, these are our fixed costs, about $9.7 million. Not much of a change there from 2019 to 2020. The water purchase, still our biggest operational expense. A little bit of a shift in a particular line item there to make it fit better with how we actually account for it. So that's just kind of an accounting cleanup. And then here's the item I mentioned before. It's only about $21,000 for this year, but that's a new fund, so that shows up as a 100% increase. And then here's the biggest change in the budget. About $738,000 for other operating, closer to $1 million for other operating for 2020. It's not quite the full $300,000 of the bridge project mitigation because it tried to scale back some other areas of the budget to account for that. So overall, it's a little under a 2% increase in expenditures from 2019 to the 2020 budget.
Just a question on the operating expense increase. Part of that is for the
mitigation activities on the bridge project, the pre-boring.
I thought you said that you were going to use some restricted funds, unrestricted funds
yep.
for that.
And then this
so
is just showing the expense.
Income as well.
This is just showing the expense side of it.
Okay.
I'll show you the revenue side too.
Oh, okay. So you'll have that in there then.
Yep.
That. Just wondering if you're.
This is just showing how we're spending those funds. A little bit more detail here. Debt service, pretty close to where it is, about $3,000 difference to 2020. Capital improvement program, about a little bit less, $30,000 less. These are the revenues that offset the fixed costs. So we have connection fees that we typically budget at about $95,000 a year. Usually do a little bit better than that, but we want to be conservative. To help fund our capital projects, we have, over the last two budgets, used some designated funds. It's called our Reserve Repair and Maintenance Fund that had about $2 million in it. By Water Authority policy, it has to have at least $1.5 million in it. So we've drawn down about $500,000 of it over the last two budgets to help kind of absorb the impact of those projects. I'm not charter members for all of that. So that's the transfer from reserve on the fixed cost side. There's funding the depreciation expense. And then in terms of operation and maintenance, we've talked about those, but I want to show you the, here's the income side, or the offsetting revenues for operation and maintenance. Interest income, I did bump that up in the budget a little bit for 2020 because our investments have been doing well. This is our charge for the advanced metering infrastructure. It's basically just an in and out. The Water Authority pays for that and disperses the costs to the members that use that. Alloway is one of those. And then here's the $300,000 from unrestricted cash to help offset the bridge project. So when you consider, when you include those offsetting revenues, our total budget that's going to be funded by rates is actually pretty flat. It's only about $2,000 higher in 2020 than 2019. So when you combine that with slightly higher water consumption projections in some by all the members, that's how our rate will actually go down for 2020. At least the budgeted rate. This is, I wish the story was even better, but it's not bad. So this year, our calculated rate, our budgeted rate was $4.99 per 1,000 gallons. Because we did rate stabilization rebates in 2019, the experienced rate was $4.76 per 1,000 gallons. So with the 2020 rate going down to $4.96, well, you can look at that one of two ways. It's either about a 0.5% decrease or it's a 4.2% increase. So the felt impact will be higher because of those rate stabilization rebates can't happen in 2020. How do I go back? There we go. This shows you the backbone of the budget. This is the projected water use of all the members in total, 2,473,000,000 gallons, which is a little bit higher than the 2019 budget.
All right.
Here, you got that for me? Thank you. All right. Let's see here. Okay, so this gives a little bit of detail on what that means for Alloway. So in 2019, the annual costs to the village were $2,021,000. In 2020, it's about $2,034,000. So there's not much of an increase there. That reflects that the village's share of the total water supply went up a little bit. That's at 410 million gallons versus 405 million gallons. So in terms of the budgeted water purchase, very little change there. But last year, Alloway received about $95,000 in rate stabilization rebate. So it will feel more like a $108 million increase, about 5.6% over 2019.
$108,000.
So what does that mean for your customers? There are about 5,500 customers in the Alloway Water Utility. So that increase means that the average monthly bill would be up $1.63 per customer over their 2019 water bill, or about $20 more per year, or $20 increase for the year on those water bills. And of course, that's just the source of supply for the village. That's just the Water Authority portion. I'm sure the village has its own debt and operational expenses, etc., that make up the actual water bill expenses in total. Well, that's where we're at in terms of the 2020 budget. Before I look at things coming, are there any questions on that?
Nick, when is the current debt service plan to be retired?
2036 is the final payment on that.
And do you see any borrowing between now and then?
Trying to avoid it. There are a couple of things that we will pay close attention to that could cause the need or warrant a significant project. One is something we've been looking at for a while, and that's a potential emergency interconnection with the Green Bay Water Utility. Currently, our emergency supply is all the wells in the member communities. If there becomes a need to secure another Lake Michigan source, that would be potentially a significant project that would require some borrowing to fund it. I'm not proposing to move forward with this project at this time. We're actually continuing to explore some less costly options for improving the water quality of our emergency supply by using existing wells and smaller interconnections between systems. So hopefully that's not anything I'll be coming back to you with in the next few years. The other area we need to keep an eye on is regulatory changes. I don't see things, at least at this time, that I anticipate in the realm of surface water. We're very fortunate to have our water coming from Lake Michigan. Where we do need to keep an eye on things is on the groundwater area, because we do maintain wells for that emergency supply. You know, we could potentially be impacted by other regulations out there. So if you're in the loop on things like PFAS, poly and perfluorinated compounds that are out there and having a significant impact on the Madison area, Marinette, Manitowoc, not near the shore, or manganese is another issue that's out there, a contaminant that regulators are starting to pay attention to. So if those things would warrant the need to either do additional things with the wells to make sure they maintain or they continue as a viable emergency source, or push us towards, you know, some other emergency supply, those are the things that, you know, that I'll keep a close eye on, that our board will keep a close eye on over the years ahead. But no, I would really like to not have to borrow additional funds before this is paid off. That would be the best.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Let's see, I wonder if I answered all the questions that I had beforehand. Oh, yes. I'll come back to capital projects. Skip that slide for now. Let's see if we have a need to come back to that one. Skip that one for now. I think I've got some more slides hiding here. That's the rate stabilization history. Here we go. Okay, one of the questions that I received in advance was... okay, just ignore the slide that's up there. What was the background on the inaccurate water meter at Manitowoc Public Utilities? That was something mentioned in the budget document relative to take-or-pay charges in 2019. So we do have an issue with the meter at the Manitowoc pump station, and that's the one that Manitowoc uses to calculate the billing for the Water Authority. We're talking about errors in the realm of 0.5% to 1.5% in comparison to the other meters in the Water Authority system. So we have a meter on our end of the pipeline in Ledgeview. Manitowoc has a meter on their end of the pipeline. And then we also have connection stations throughout the metro area. So we can look at the sum of those connection stations as a comparison. So that's where that variance comes from. Manitowoc is working on that issue. They know that it's a problem. It's basically a design flaw that's been around as water consumption has dropped, that meter design has not performed well. Now, looking back at 2019, on average, that variance was 0.7%. So it's not a lot, but our agreement requires a correction at anything over 0.5% variance. So Manitowoc Public Utilities is looking into that, and we should have some recommendations on how they can correct that in the near future so that we don't continue to deal with that. All right. One of the other questions I had was capital improvements for the last few years. I'll just read the question here. The capital improvement program will be receiving or did receive more than $1.5 million in 2018, 2019, and 2020. How the results of these improvements measured and audited to justify the expenditures? The 2018 capital improvement program was not implemented. None of those projects moved forward. A lot of them were kind of dependent on negotiations with Manitowoc that were still underway. In 2019, we did move forward with several projects. Those included the Howard Booster Station bypass, which I mentioned already. And that one is expected to save us $10,000 to $12,000 in electricity costs every year. So that should have a payback of 8 to 10 years. So that's the metric on that one. Pretty clean and a good return on investment. Another project this year was to install automatic chlorine system shutoffs in the connection stations. Not an energy saver, but a safety issue. Chlorine is the most dangerous chemical that we use in our water system. It's dangerous when it's in the gas form in a huge tank in a small room. It's not dangerous in the water because it's dosed into the water supply and the levels are monitored at several points along the way. But it is a danger for the people who work in those buildings. If there's a leak in that connection station, that gas can kill you. So what we had installed is something that probably would have been installed if those buildings were built today. It's a newer safety feature that's been developed. So that one, not necessarily return on investment, but just a safety feature that needed to be added. And then the last project for this year was to purchase a 48-inch butterfly valve and a couple of pipe sections to have in our inventory. So this was a planning ahead for a future contingency type of project. So if we ever do have a break on the 48-inch main, there's a four-month lead time on getting a new butterfly valve constructed of that size. We will have that on hand so that we don't have a four-month lead time. The pipe sections that go with it also have manhole access points. That's something that we don't have out there today. So there's virtually no access to that pipe for inspection purposes, maintenance purposes, etc. So the general plan with that, again, that's not necessarily a return on investment type of thing, but just a good contingency plan for the future. If we don't have a need to install it for an emergency purpose, and hopefully we don't, there's a couple of different options. We could just plan to install it to provide that emergency inspection type access where it didn't exist before so that we have that in place. We may sell it to somebody else that needs it and have a new one made, so we'll see how that goes. So those are the three projects that totaled $480,000 for 2019. And then, let's see if I can jump ahead here. Here's how 2019 actually played out. Construction costs are going up fast. All of these projects came in higher than budgeted. So the 48-inch valve, there's the actual cost. The chlorine automatic shutoffs, pretty close to budget. The Howard Booster bypass came in really high over budget. And those are the bid amounts. We bid all those projects twice to try to get better numbers on those. And then we've got a little bit of a contingency for those three projects. This is a study that I mentioned that's a precursor to doing some optimization in the pump station in Manitowoc. So those will be future projects that show up in 2020. So just kind of a couple contingency lines left at the bottom. The unanticipated capital typically is nothing. It's a contingency. You know, if there are replacements that are needed that we haven't budgeted for, we like to have a little bit set aside for that. And those can get forwarded on to the next year to help reduce capital costs for the following year. Okay, I've talked a lot. Do you guys have any other questions for me?
Two things. On the 2018, if there were no capital improvement projects, and that was $655,000, mm-hmm. Does that mean 2019 went in with that much extra? If there were no expenditures in 18?
Yeah, essentially. The carryover of funds from 2018 was really positive, and it helped the Water Authority to not dip into its cash reserves. I mentioned this briefly at the beginning, that we're trying to follow recommendations on maintaining at least a minimum level of unrestricted cash. We were on a path to dip below that. And the minimum recommended amount that our financial advisors are encouraging us to use is 25%. So maintain at least 25% of your annual expenses as unrestricted cash. We were looking at this time last year, we were looking at being at about 22% by the end of 2018. That didn't happen. We were able to actually end on a positive note in the black and increase cash reserves at the end of that year. So yes, that helped with this budget. That helped get us back on track relative to that metric as well. This budget will put us at about 30%, so that'll keep us in better shape. If we continue to do that, that'll help us to either restore some of the reserve funds that we've been using or create a new source for member rebates. So there may be an opportunity to bring rebates back in the future if that keeps performing well.
Thank you. And thank you for taking the questions early.
Yeah, thanks for providing.
You weren't caught off guard too much.
No, that was great. Thank you.
The only other item, your predecessor during the 2018 budget talked about Suamico and possibly adding a member to the authority, but they were going to stay on a well system at that time.
Yeah.
Has there been any discussion, any changes? Will any new members be added in the foreseeable future?
Continued discussion, yes. Not any changes yet at this point. I have met with Suamico and make sure they understand where we stand as the Water Authority. We encourage them to keep considering joining the membership. Also reached out to the Village of Denver because they're in prime position to be able to utilize Water Authority water as well. Oneida Tribe and others. So I've definitely been reaching out to surrounding communities to see if we can make progress on that. One of the things that will start later this year and go into 2020 is we've formed a growth management task force. And so what I want to do is get some of our technical committee members and our board members together, perhaps a couple other stakeholders, and see if we can have a clear vision for what we want that process to look like. And then to start to modify our governing documents to kind of pave the way to make that easier. Because right now, we have to make all those changes later. So even if Suamico wanted to join today, it'd probably take us a year to get through the legal process with our governing documents. So the thought now is get that out of the way right away, especially if we can reach agreement on what we want that to look like and make it a lot easier.
I thought we made those changes back in 2018.
We made some initial changes to the formation agreement.
Yes.
It's the common name for it. But we also need to make some changes to the member water purchase agreement. So there are three main documents that govern the member part of the water authority relationship. The third one is the bylaws, and that one's probably the easiest out of the three, but the member water purchase agreement will take some time. That's where all the details are. That's the next one we'll tackle.
Any other questions for Nick? We thank you very much, sir.
All right. Thank you as well.
Okay, we will move on to item number 5, public comment. Is there anyone in the audience this evening that would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Village of Alloway Bike Ped Committee. I'd like the president to add to the next agenda meeting an audit of the TID 1 capital improvement budget and projects. There have been wild fluctuations over the last 2 years in the budget and projects being shifted from year to year. Next year there's going to be a $200,000 surplus in the TID 1 budget because it changed from a resurfacing for 2020 to a complete reconstruction.
Hey, Jim.
And so I'd like
Jim.
You have that money.
I'm going to have you removed from the meeting.
I'd like
Jim. You have demonstrated the inability to listen to the village board. So you're done talking tonight, unless you want to talk about something different. And until you can demonstrate to me that you're willing to listen to the board and its direction, and not cause disruption of the meetings, you won't be invited to speak in front of the board. I warned you. Have a seat. Have a seat. I'll have you removed. Okay, is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak on something that's not on the agenda? Hearing none, we will move on to item 6. Action regarding the Public Works Committee minutes from September 11, 2019. We'll take them one at a time. Sean, how about A?
Sure. The 5-year equipment replacement plan includes the purchase of a used garbage truck. Plan would be to retrofit that used garbage truck with an ODB leaf vacuum. We would use that as a second leaf vacuum truck. We have been in discussions with the city of DePere. They have a truck that will be for sale at the end of this year. Bob and Jim, street foreman, have gone over to take a look at it. Bob has inspected the vehicle. Has done some research on the value of the truck. We estimate the value of the garbage truck at, roughly speaking, $15,000 to $22,000. Retrofitted with the ODB unit, the total cost of the truck would be approximately $80,000. Funds for the purchase would come from the equipment replacement budget. And we're hopeful that by adding a second leaf sucker truck that we can continue to evaluate the two different methods that we use to collect leaves. Early in the season, we go out with a leaf vacuum truck to pick up small piles. Later in the season, when the leaves start to come down, there's larger piles, more volume of leaves, we send out the baler. It is an intensive process that includes a lot of employees, a lot of staff, and a lot of equipment. The process, and Bob can go into the detail of it, but it includes a trackless vehicle to pull leaves out, a loader to do that as well, and then a tractor to tow the baler, two dump trucks behind that, and a front-end loader. So it is an all-consuming process at the end of the year. And again, I think that we're hopeful to add a second truck to continue to evaluate the process. We think there's a cost savings there. Do you have anything to add?
Manpower is total of, when we're at our peak, is about 8 men. You know, and we're looking, we could cut back with leaf sucking to 3 units, 3 men.
We do have in the 5-year equipment replacement fund in 2022 to add another leaf vacuum truck. We do that through the retirement of an existing garbage truck that we have and purchase of an ODB unit. Now, we're going to continue to evaluate, and we think there's some good cost savings here. So I would make a motion to recommend to the village board that staff submits an offer to the city of DePere in amount not to exceed $22,000.
Okay, any questions? I will entertain a motion. Oh, did you have a question?
I was just curious if we've got the cost of the purchase of the used garbage truck and then another 40 to 60 for the retrofit, what would the cost be if we bought a quote-unquote new unit, and what kind of life would we get out of that? Just, I know it would be a higher cost, I understand that, but would the cost-benefit balance out at all?
So we didn't price out a new unit, just a rough guess, probably about a $250,000 unit from the manufacturer.
That answers that one.
Yeah. So, right now, the cheapest road is to convert a garbage truck.
And agreed. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Just didn't have a point of reference on what a new one would cost, so I appreciate it.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion on this item. Trustee Harris.
Move to approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Dart. Any discussion? Nice job, guys. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item 6B, Brown County Municipal Recycling Agreement.
So at the end of this month, we'll be submitting a grant application to the DNR for recycling. We do this on an annual basis. Last year, the bills received approximately $98,500 to help fund the recycling program. To be eligible for the grant assigned agreement is necessary, indicating that we collaborate with other communities to properly dispose of recyclable goods. I recommend that the village sign the attached. I recommend to the village board that we sign the attached agreement so that I can move ahead with the grant application.
Okay. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green. Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item 6C, Wisconsin Department of Transportation Local Road Improvement Program.
In October, staff will be preparing LRIP grant application. The LRIP funding this year for nine villages in Brown County is $259,000. In the past, the villages have elected to split this money because of the amount. In 2018-2019, we did not get any funding. During this cycle, 2020-2021, we will get money. We're hopeful that we will get money in the amount of roughly $50,000. We will be submitting Arbor Lane from Staten to Andrews Court. It would be a rehabilitation project. The scope of the work would include coming in and milling the pavement full depth, spot repair to curb and gutter, and adjustment of manhole covers. The work we would be hopeful that we would get the grant and we'd be able to use it next year under the repair project. We'll go through, we'll submit it, and we'll find out if we're going to get money in 2020 or 2021. I would make a motion to the village board to submit Ann Arbor Lane rehabilitation project for LRIP funding.
Thank you. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee?
Move to submit the application.
Thank you. Second? By anyone? Trustee Genrich?
Second.
Any discussion?
What will we hope to get?
About 52,000.
Okay.
So, according to what Sean told us last time, normally about half the municipalities get funding, and then they split that $250,000-some. So, hope to get about $52,000. Okay, we have a motion to approve and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 7. Do any village board members have anything you would like to see on future agendas? Hearing none, I will accept the motion to convene into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 1985-1E. Deliberating or negotiating the purchasing of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require closed session. Specifically, the sale of 3241 3245 Riverside Drive and the developer agreement for 2050 Riverside Drive.
Move to adjourn to closed session.
Trustee Sampson, do I have a second? Trustee Dart, roll call. Trustee Harris.
Aye.
Trustee Genrich.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
President Rafter. Aye. Trustee Dart.
Aye.
Trustee Green.
Aye.
Trustee Sampson.
Aye.
Thank you. We are in closed session. Thank